Hey, thanks for joining us for another Marlins Rewind. This is the Week in Review. The trade deadline, baseball's winningest team, and of course, a career milestone for Ichiro. Plenty to catch up on. The Hall of Fame broadcaster Dave Van Horn and Glenn Geffner have the highlights for you. I'm Boomer Dangle. It's a pleasure to have you. Let's get to it and go
up, up and away.
The week started with eyes on the TV screen, or Twitter, or online, seeking news around the looming trade deadline.
The deadline with our insider Ken Rosenthal.
They had the two deals in place.
Peter Gammons, you know, the Indians know that as well. They went out and got that massive bullpen arm.
Dodgers getting Hill and Reddick, Carlos Beltran and Jonathan Lucroy, the highlighting of their work today.
From June 1st through Monday's deadline, MLB teams totaled 48 transactions, the highest number in 20 years. In that stretch, the Fish picked up a bullpen arm, Fernando Rodney, and two starters. But under the wire on Monday, a trade sent righty pitcher Colin Ray back to San Diego and returned Miami prospect Luis Castillo. After the 4 p.m. buzzer, president of baseball ops Mike Hill.
I think all in all, you know, we're very happy with, you know, with what we were able to accomplish leading up to 4 o'clock today. You know, we added a quality back-end reliever in Fernando Rodney, and we're able to add, you know, in our opinion, a tremendous starter in Andrew Cashner.
In summary, the Marlins add a starter and a reliever, both from San Diego. After the rumor mill slowed down, the Fish had a game to play, as Miami's the only team in the bigs without an off day in the first 20 games out of the All-Star break. To finish off that long stretch without a day off, the Marlins lost all three to the Cubs. The first game, the Marlins got shut out, but the team hung around in game two.
Miami's finally broken through in this series. Looking for more. The 0-2 to Realmuto. Bouncer off the pitcher, goes out into right field for a hit. Johnson's around third, being waved to the plate. It's a 3-2 game as Realmuto delivers the third Marlins hit in the inning.
The Cubs won that by just one run at home. Then Wednesday afternoon, that game hurt, there's no question. With a chance to win the season series, Miami led by two runs in the ninth.
He's set again, 3-1 pitch. Got to do it again, the pitch. Taken low, ball four, this game is tied. Ramos walks in the tying run.
And then the worst happened.
Here's the pitch. Way outside to the backstop. Here comes a winning run home, and the Cubs win 5-4. On a wild pitch by A.J. Ramos. To the bricks behind home plate. They were down 4-2 coming to the ninth. The Marlins sitting on a win. And the Cubs walk it off on a bases loaded wild pitch. They win 5-4.
The walk-off loss burned. It still does. Tom Kohler started the game and limited the Major League's third most scoring offense to just a run. In his 20th start of the season, Kohler got a no decision.
They're tough. You know, we win as a team, we lose as a team. We got a day off tomorrow, so we could regroup. You know, we still got a big series against Colorado. They've been playing really good baseball. And, you know, it's a really good team over there. It's a team that you can't afford to make mistakes against, and they tend to make them pay, and they did that all series. So I think it kind of shows us where we're at and what we need to do to get to where we want to be.
Mattingly's brought the team up 16 games from this point last year. Actually, if the Marlins owned this exact record on this exact date last year, they'd only be a half game out of first place. Following Wednesday's back-breaking loss, Kohler placed his confidence in his teammates and Mattingly to put the past in the past.
You know, in the past, we might have ridden the highs and lows too much, and you know, he does a great job of being the same every day. So whether we won this series or lost this series, when we get on the plane, he's going to be the same. And that lets us know that, yeah, okay, we lost, you know, we ended up getting swept here. But that in no means is the end of the season. Let's just keep pushing forward and getting back to playing the ball that we've been playing. At the same token, you know, we're a confident group and we know what we're capable of doing. We didn't do it these last 3 days, but doesn't mean we won't going forward.
Remember, Miami played 20 games in 20 days before Thursday's travel day. And Miguel Rojas explained just how taxing that is in this third quarter of the season.
this is one of the hardest thing of the baseball season because it's so long, and when you have to face a stretch like this, like when you have to play a bunch of games in a row, is when you need the whole 25 men, you know, like this is when the character of the team comes out. And I feel like if we want to be on the playoff, we have to be good at this moment and play our best baseball.
Miggy's one of the players on the team who's seen Mattingly work both in L.A. and now in Miami.
That's one of the biggest teams because he understands the game. He understands when the players need a break or whatever. And he's been doing a great job giving us the bench guys playing time, because I feel like being a bench guy, and you don't get into a rhythm a lot. So he's been doing a great job with that, and I have to say thanks not just to him. The whole organization has been doing a great job.
So the team sat on the walk-off loss, but enjoyed a day away from baseball before its annual trip to Colorado. Having just been swept for the second time all year, Mattingly says now it's time to find a team identity.
It's fun, you know, and I think these guys love it. And I think we'll learn a lot about our guys over these next couple months. I think we're going to have a really good indication of who's who as we get out of this, and that's going to be really interesting for us.
And with the subtraction of pitcher Colin Ray, Mike Hill hinted early in the week at the deadline who'd take the fifth starter's role, at least for now.
We've got internal candidates that we'll look to, and you know, we'll talk with Donnie and Juan and see what we think is the best fit.
Our reasonable presumption led us to David Phelps, who would start his first game since last August. Turns out we were right, and Phelps was ready.
David Phelps will face David Dahl, Mark Reynolds, and Daniel Descalso.
His longest outing before this start was 4 innings relief, but that was sort of a quasi-start after a rain delay bumped the starter. Friday night, in Denver, Phelps went 4 1/3, but again, the starting pitcher found himself in line for a no decision.
3-2 to Reynolds. In the air, right field, sending Stanton back. He's onto the track. He leaps at the wall. It's off the wall. Extra bases for Reynolds. Coming around third, Dahl racing for the plate. It's a 3-run 8th, and the Rockies lead now 3-1.
But there was still time yet. Miami took the bats in the 9th inning and bounced back in front.
Here's the pitch to Martin. A swing and a hard hit ball up the middle out into left center. That's going to give the Marlins a lead. Home to score is Rojas. Behind him is Echeverria. And the Marlins have a 4-3 lead on a 2-run single by Martin Prado.
Martin just quietly continues his pace this year. He's batting .323 right now, his best season since 2008 in Atlanta. That average is the 6th best in the major leagues, a point behind his teammate Christian Yelich. On Friday, Prado's hits allowed Miami to come back and win the first against the Rockies. It does not go unrecognized that the ball flies around in Colorado. At 5,200 feet above sea level, the Rockies have a ridiculous team batting average at home this year. 304 collectively as a squad with 80 home runs. Saturday, the Rocks improved that figure. But Giancarlo Stanton impressed with a number of his own.
Through 2012. This ball is crushed by Stanton. First ball hitting, a high fly ball deep to left center, and it is long gone up, up and away. Stanton with home run number 23, the 204th of his career, and his 16th against the Rockies, his 9th at Coors. That was a blast.
MLB StatCast has it at 504 feet, the longest home run hit in the StatCast era, and longer than any home run he hit in the Home Run Derby. Keep in mind, this time it was against live pitching. Even that wasn't the best number of the week. The ball floated all over Coors Field again Sunday to give Miami a lead in the 7th. Then, 0-for-3... Ichiro pointed his front arm towards the pitcher's mound with an ever-so-slightly open stance.
Russ in the 2-0, and Ichiro slams one high in the air, deep to right field. Parr's back, he is at the wall, leaps, and he can't get it! Number 3,000 for Ichiro, it's off the wall. Ichiro around third, he's going to be held, he's got a triple! Number 3,000 for the one, the only, the remarkable Ichiro!
The Marlins won the game, but that's secondary. Mattingly says in a game where Colorado was poised to come back, Ichiro re-sparked to the Marlins.
By number of runs, we swing the bats well, then they kind of jump us, get back in the game. Nolan, you know, the two homers gets them back in the game. And when it gets 8-6, I kind of, the Ichiro hit really is kind of what's been the beauty of him all year long, is that he's played in circumstances to give guys days off, to come off the bench, to play when a guy's been hurt. And that hit today was a huge hit for us. You know, they get close, that triple ends up being a hit that kind of enables us to push forward. So it's for me, fitting that for this season at least, this hit comes in that kind of context as part of a team win. Obviously, he has been a huge part of what we've done this year. You know, for me, it's been an honor, and we talked about inside, an honor to have watched him play early, an honor to have managed him, and he honors our game.
Now, for the next few minutes, we'll hear from Ichiro, uninterrupted, after his game through the translator Alan Turner. I've taken out the actual back-and-forth translation, but here it is. Thoughts from Mr. 3000.
You know, my first three at-bats, my body felt like Justin Bors. I was just so heavy. But after that hit, the burden was lifted off.
Ichiro, you're the second player of the 3,000 hit club to have done it on a triple. How special is that?
I heard that Paul Molitor was the other player, and obviously I have a special relationship with him. And having something like this that I was able to accomplish, that the same thing that he was able to accomplish, it just makes it even more special.
Ichiro, we've talked about this before. You have such a passion for the history of the game. There's only 30 players who have ever reached 3,000 hits. What does it mean to know that when those players are discussed, your name is going to be mentioned now?
No, more than the 3,000, the number itself. But, you know, you saw my teammates come out and how happy they were, and the fans and how warm they were. You know, it's not about just the 3,000 and what I did, but it's about my teammates and the fans, and that's how I felt today. It was a slider, and obviously I wanted to see it go over the fence, but after I heard that it was that I did, Paul Molitor was the other person to do it, so I'm glad that it didn't go over and I was able to get a triple.
Did it feel the way you expected it was going to feel when you did it?
You know, it took a long time for me. Obviously, I've been feeling this for the last 2 weeks, not getting the opportunity to get in there, you know, getting a pinch hit every night. And so that was tough. But also, you know, for me, I feel like I should have gotten this 2 years ago. So it took a longer time than I thought that it should have.
We'll bring you more of Ichiro's celebration on the Marlins Radio Network throughout the week. So Miami wins the season series against Colorado, taking 2 of 3 in Denver, and now comes back home just where it was last Monday, a game ahead of St. Louis in the wildcard standings and second place in the National League East. We've got less than a third left in the baseball season, and the West Division leading Giants and American League White Sox come to Marlins Park this week. Get some tickets at Marlins.com. And as always, the games will be broadcasted by the Hall of Fame radio broadcaster Dave Van Horn and Glenn Geffner on 940 Wins in the Marlins Radio Network.